Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and guests.
Good morning. The
Recording in progress.
time is exactly 9 o'clock. Can we start?
Yes, Chair, we can start.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members, our support staff on the platform, communications, everybody else on the platform. Good morning. members of the media, the public who are joining us today. We are meeting with the Department of Water and Sanitation as we consider the 2023 appropriation bill. This is the bill which divides money to the national departments and agencies and institutions. So as that process, we do interact with a number of departments. So today we are meeting with the Department of Water and Sanitation. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the delegation of the department led by the Minister of Water and Sanitation, Honorable Senzo Mthunu, the Deputy Minister, David Mahlobo, and our brand new Deputy Minister, Judith Shabalala. You are all welcome, the DG and all the executive and the family from the Department of Water and Sanitation. So before we proceed, let me check with the committee secretary, Darren. Do we have any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson, we received an apology on behalf of Mr. Kwankwa. That's it.
Yes, let's note the apology from Honorable Kwankwa. And then what will happen? What will happen? We are going to hand over to the minister and his delegation, and we'll give them a maximum of 1 hour. So they'll start at about 9:05. So at 10:05 or before, if they finish before, I'll then request the minister to bring back the meeting to me. And then from there, we'll allow the other members to engage with the presentations, allow the minister, the delegation after that to respond to the issues that would have been raised by the other members, and then we'll go to the next agenda item. That's how we're going to move today. Other minister, you are most welcome. I'm taking the meeting to you with your delegation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Shenge. Deputy Minister Mashawa will lead, will make a leading input or opening input. Thank you. Mashawa.
No, thank you very much, Matungwana, our minister. And thanks to our chairperson, His Excellency Comrade Shenge, and the entire leadership of the Special Committee on Appropriations. And our Deputy Minister, our brand new comrade, Judith Shabalala Shenge, and the entire leadership that is led by the department. We are coming in, to you, Chairperson, and trying to firstly to commend your leadership of the committee for all the support, Chair, that you have given us during the last appropriations, especially the department on the basis of the important work that we do. We are very pleased, Chairperson, that the presentation today is coming at a time where we need to demonstrate that the department under the leadership of Matungwane, in terms of administration and stability, we are fully stabilized now, Chairperson. All the key positions in the department have been filled, and they are filled by very competent people. At the very same time, the performance of the department in terms of the leadership of the sector, there's been a marked improvement, especially in a space that deals with the issues of access to water and sanitation services, especially in a number of communities. Our local government is experiencing a lot of challenges, including our 8 metros. And through the minister, a decision was made to up our support, including an intervention using the instrument that exists in law, especially both in the Constitution and in the Water Services Act. In a number of areas, our minister is intervening in the Eastern Cape. If you look at the question of Nelson Mandela, and the situation still remains precarious, but the very good progress of that particular intervention led by minister is currently happening. We look at the situation in Gauteng. Gauteng, in the main, there have been many challenges about water shortages, including the issues of spillages in KwaZulu-Natal. But the message is to say that the attitude of this ministry, Chair, is that as long as there are problems, in as much as the mandate to provide water to communities is the responsibility of local government, as a leader and of the sector, and as a custodian of the water in the country, the ministry will intervene in that particular point. Secondly, Chairperson, the department led by Minister, we are trying to redo reconfiguration of our institutions, which is an important component, especially the water boards, so that these water boards, they have the necessary capacity both in terms of technical and financial, and using their own solid foundation that they have, so that they can be at the disposal of the state to be able to do their primary function, which is bulk infrastructure, bulk water, in terms of provision, but at the very same time to be at the disposal of these municipalities. Then through the minister, we have been in a position, Chair, as you are aware, the last time were to wrap up the issues of sedimentary water. And the issues of sedimentary water were to expand the mandate of Mahalis, including the mandate of Bloom Water, to cover the areas of Northern Cape and areas of and the areas of Northwest in totality. That program that the minister is running, Shen, is going very well, and we are starting to see fruits. And there are teams that are led by our DG, Sean Phillips, that is supporting to conclude that task. But water boards are starting to play that important role, including the issues of, in KwaZulu-Natal, the biggest, those two water boards are going to be coming together to form one entity for the province so that we can have economies of scale and deal with the challenges. Then we'll expand the issues of rainwater to cover Mpumalanga and Gauteng, and then Lepele will cover the entire issues there. But that's the program that the minister is doing. That program, in terms of the capacity of our institution, is also being supported by the work that the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency, we have gone through the issues of bringing it back so that we can have the capacity to bring technical capacity and the financing capacity to deal with all those particular issues there. And then the issues of the bill, the processes are being happening around consultation. And we hope that before this sixth parliament arises, we'll have concluded those particular issues. And then the other issues, then they will come out, Chairperson, when the DG is leading the team. But in terms of assurance of a supply and availability of water, major bulk infrastructure projects, whether it is your Lesotho Highlands, is back on track, and the minister working very hard, we should be able to proceed like we are on our phase two. We look at the biggest project that has been standing for quite some time in the Eastern Cape, and all those details in the budget that is being provided. Now Umzimvubu will come on board, and how it has been reconfigured, the presentation will be much clearer. The issues of supporting KwaZulu-Natal so that it doesn't have problems of the shortage of water, and a number of programs there. Umkhomazi is one of the biggest programs that we're running so that those five districts, including our main metro, eThekwini, will be supported. And attending to the issues of the communities of the north, far north, that Jozini Dam and the work that has been done, Matsingwane is intervening, even has been there for quite some time, and even tomorrow and Friday will be interacting with those communities, because they too will have issues of access to water. Our perennial issue of Giani, we are very pleased that the project is back on track, Shane. Very pleased. And we are in a position now that for the first time we've brought water for many kilometers from Nandoni to Nzami, so that there is water in the Nzami Dam, so that the municipality of Giani, Mopani, is supported to deal with all those other issues. But generally, that's the brief, Chairperson, and we're very pleased that the department is on track to provide leadership. But then going forward, there's still areas of improvement that we need to be able to deal with. With those words, Chair, I will want, with your permission, we hand over to DJ Sean Phillips and his team, that he makes the presentation responding on the framework that you have given us to say, how does these appropriations make us to be responsive on the priority areas, but also to highlight some key achievements that the last appropriations we've made advances. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. The presentation should be showing on the screen now.
Yes, it's showing a DG.
Okay, thank you. So the first slide indicates what we were asked to present on in the invitation to this meeting. We were asked to appraise the committee on the department's preliminary spending outcomes at the end of the 22-23 financial year, including measures to put in place for prevent possible over or under expenditure on appropriated funds. We were asked to appraise the committee on how the department plans to utilise proposed allocation of $22.3 billion for this current financial year, the new financial year, in a manner that's effective, efficient and economical. We were asked to appraise the committee on possible service delivery implications and impacts of the proposed allocation reductions in key sub-programs that are critical to the sector over the MTF. And we were asked to appraise the committee on how the department will absorb these reductions in our budget and how the reductions are likely to affect service delivery in the different sub-programs. We're also asked to give an overview of our contribution to the Reconstruction and Recovery Plan, BBBEE, and localization of goods and services. We're also asked to report on vacant positions and what role the department sees itself playing in job creation, and an overview of any legal impediments the department's achieving economic transformation, and a report on the status and progress made in the Giani Water Project. So in introduction, Chairperson, some of these issues have been covered by the Deputy Minister, but just as an introductory background to inform our APP for this financial year, our strategic priorities are illustrated on this slide, as indicated by the Deputy Minister. Acceleration of all the major water resource infrastructure projects remains a priority, such as the Sutu Highlands, Umkhumazi and Zimbubu. If we're going to avoid water scarcity in future as a country, we need to develop other water resources more, in addition to surface water, including groundwater and desalination, because there are limitations to which we can further exploit surface water in the country. We're already using about 75% of the available surface water resources in the country. We need to invest a lot more in the future. We need to invest many hundreds of billions of rand just to build additional surface water infrastructure to use that remaining 25% of the surface water availability. And that can't be funded from the fiscus. There's no room in the fiscus to fund it. We're already raising about 65% of the money that we spend on these major bulk infrastructure projects from the private sector in terms of private sector finance through the TCTA. But we need to raise a lot more money from the private sector. Currently, we're limited in that regard. because of the model of the TCTA, which can only borrow on the basis of treasury guarantees. The TCTA doesn't have a balance sheet and revenues associated with it. So in the process of establishing the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency so that we can raise a lot more money in the market, because we will be amalgamating the TCTA with the trading entity of the department and transferring the ownership of the national water assets to the NWRIA, so that it will have a substantial balance sheet and revenue streams, which would enable it to raise much more finance on the markets for projects without necessarily requiring treasury guarantees. A major focus is also for us to strengthen our role as the regulator of the sector. Traditionally, we focus more on our role as the regulator in terms of the National Water Act with regard to issues like water pollution, but we will now be strengthening our role as the regulator of water services provided by municipalities. In addition to increasing private sector finance for national water resource infrastructure, it's also important to get more private sector finance involved in municipal water infrastructure to help address the shortages of funding there. One of our key roles in terms of economic development is the issuing of water use licenses. And there the president has set us targets for turning around our license times. We've made good progress in that regard, but it remains a priority. We're still not yet at the president's target of close to 100% of licenses processed within 90 days, but we've improved, and during this financial year, we hope to get a lot closer to that target. Again, if we're going to avoid water scarcity and water shortages in the future, we not only need to build more water resource infrastructure and develop more use of groundwater and seawater desalination, we also need to have much stronger water conservation and demand management in South Africa. We use more water per capita than the global average, whereas we're amongst the most water scarce countries in the world, which is a major anomaly. One of the key causes, of course, of our low efficiency of water use is the very high levels of water losses, physical water losses in municipal water distribution systems, and that's also a priority for us. The financial sustainability of the whole water sector is at risk, at grave risk, because of the debts owed by municipalities to the water boards, and in turn from the water boards to the national government. Those debts have already resulted in one of our water boards becoming bankrupt. It was owed more than $5 billion by one of the municipalities, and its expenses exceeded its revenue, so it became bankrupt and it had to be closed down. But what is most alarming in this regard is that the debts are escalating rapidly, and unless something is done, it puts the whole financial sustainability of the whole sector at risk. We therefore need to have a strong focus on improving billing and revenue collection across the water value chain. The minister decided to create 6 catchment management agencies, which is a requirement to establish these agencies in terms of the National Water Act. 2 have been established and 4 are in the process of being established. The National Water Act also requires us to transform irrigation boards into water user associations. And we've recently issued a gazette requiring the remaining irrigation boards to give us timeframes for that transformation. As indicated by the Deputy Minister, the Minister has also taken measures to reconfigure the water boards so that they're generally more aligned to provincial boundaries, so that they achieve better economies of scale, and so that they provide services to all areas of countries which require their services. Internally, we've come from a bit of a difficult period as the department of turmoil, where we had a very high turnover of ministers and directors general and acting directors general, but we are consolidating now, as indicated by the DM. We've filled our key senior positions. The minister has approved a new structure, and we're in the process of developing the new water services branch, which will enable us to put more attention to water services than we did in the past. Other major administrative priorities are to improve our infrastructure procurement so that we avoid under expenditure. We want to try and eradicate under expenditure this financial year. We have been focusing strongly over the last year or two on strengthening financial and HR controls, and we want to maintain those and further strengthen them. We've also been focusing on managing all our financial misconduct disciplinary cases, and there's been good progress in that regard, and we'll keep up that focus, and we'll be continuing to pursue condemnation of historic, irregular and unauthorized expenditure. We had a period about 5 or 7 years ago when we had very high annual rates of new irregular expenditure. That has improved drastically since then. Our new irregular expenditure per year is very, very small compared to how it was in that period. And our major focus now is getting condemnations for the irregular expenditure from that period. And then we also have a major focus to improve our external communications. So this is our preliminary outcomes from the last financial year. In total, we spent 95.4% of our adjusted appropriation, which is an improvement on the previous financial year, 21-22, where we spent 85.7% of our total appropriation. But as I indicated earlier, it's our view, and of course the minister's view, that it's still not good enough. We should be at 100% of expenditure, not 95.4%. So that 4.6% under expenditure translates to 862 million, or almost 5%. And that under expenditure is made up of a little bit of under expenditure on personnel, a little bit of under expenditure on goods and services, but a large amount of under expenditure on capital assets, and that relates to under expenditure largely on the grants that we administer to municipalities. The under expenditure on our personal budget was unavoidable because, as I will indicate a bit later, we have a decreasing in real terms personnel budget that's been allocated to us by National Treasury, which meant last financial year we couldn't spend all of our personal budget, because if we'd filled additional posts, we would have ended up overspending this year and next financial year, which would have been irregular. So we had to be constrained and not fill some of the posts and not spend some of the personal budget to avoid over expenditure in future years. As I indicated earlier, in the previous financial year, we had under expenditure of 2 billion rand. So we've improved from 2 billion rand under expenditure to 800 million under expenditure. We have applied for rollovers from National Treasury for 714 million is 800 million. And we think we do have very good reasons for those rollovers. The monies are all committed. And in some cases, the money couldn't be spent because of financial system failures just before the end of the financial year, which were beyond the control of the department. It's transversal system failures run by National Treasury. So we do intend this financial year to reduce our under expenditure to zero or close to zero. And I'll talk a little bit about how we're going to do that in the next slide. So the approach that we're taking is that we are managing our budgets on a monthly basis, our grant transfers to municipalities much more closely and proactively in the past. We're monitoring them all very closely. Where municipalities have been slow to implement projects using the grants, and it looks like they're going to underspend on the money, which will result in under expenditure by us, we are then taking some of that money and allocating it to projects which are moving quicker and can absorb more money. And then we will give back that money in the following financial year to the projects which are moving slowly, so that we don't underspend on our budgets during the financial year as a whole. As I indicated, we also are working on improving our infrastructure procurement. We have put in place an infrastructure procurement policy and an infrastructure procurement strategy as required by the Framework for Infrastructure Delivery and Procurement Management, which was issued by National Treasury. And we are optimistic that that is going to make our infrastructure procurement more efficient and effective and quicker, so that we don't have under expenditures as a result of procurement delays. And we're also improving our project management processes in the departments. Some of our projects, including some of the projects which involve grants to municipalities, are managed by water boards as implementing agents. And we are also focusing on engaging closely with those water boards to make sure that there isn't under expenditure on those projects where they are the implementing agents. So for this financial year, over the whole MTEF, we have 72.322 billion allocated, which consists of 22.257 for this financial year, 24.18 and 25.885. So honourable members will see from these figures that this partly answers the question that we were asked to respond to about reductions in our budgets over the MTEF. And you can see from these figures that we don't have a reduction in our budget. We're one of the fortunate departments that actually still has an increasing budget over the MTF. But the main item on our budget, which is decreasing, is the personnel budget. And that is because of efforts by governments based on cabinet decisions to reduce the percentage of the total government expenditure, which is spent on personnel, so that more money can be available for other things, such as investment in infrastructure. So we actually, our grant allocations for water services infrastructure increase over the MTF, and that's probably partly possible because of the approach of government to reduce personnel expenditure across the whole of government. So the slide provides more details here of the budgets per main category, which I won't go into. Chairperson, we've also been working very closely with the Infrastructure Fund, which is a ring-fence entity located in the DBSA, but which reports to Infrastructure South Africa under the Minister of Public Works. And they've been assisting us in developing proposals for additional funding from the Infrastructure Fund, which is managed by the Budget Facility for Infrastructure and National Treasury. And we've made quite a few successful motivations to the Budget Facility for Infrastructure and been provided with allocations in that regard. And then also some of the water sector entities, like some of the water boards and some of the municipalities, have also applied to the Budget Facility for Infrastructure for funding. And when the Budget Facility for Infrastructure allocates that funding, if it's a water sector project, they usually transfer the money, they usually allocate the money to us to transfer to the different bodies who applied for the funding. So we also have in our allocations money to go to Mahali's Water as one of the projects funded by the Budget Facility for Infrastructure. We have been given a large allocation to the Mkomazi Water Project. This project is a project which was delayed for a long time because of a problem with affordability for Etigwini and the other municipalities in the area. But the Infrastructure Fund developed a very innovative financial solution, which they helped us to get approval from National Treasury for, so that the project is now funded by a 25% loan from National Treasury, 25% grant, and then 50% finance raised on the market through the TCTA. And that's enabled the TCTA to agree with Etigwini and the municipalities on an offtake tariff for the project, which is acceptable and affordable to the municipalities, which means that this very large project, which is essential for water security in Etigwini and surrounding municipalities, is now moved to the implementation phase. The financing problem has been resolved. And you can see here there's allocations as well, which are coming through us to some of the local municipalities, to Nelson Mandela Metropolitan Municipality and to Sol Plaatje as well. These are all budget facility for infrastructure allocations. We're also, we're continuing to work with the Infrastructure Fund, and we're working with them on a range of other business cases to submit for additional funding from that source for water infrastructure projects. This slide shows the regional bulk infrastructure projects and the water services infrastructure projects implemented in this financial year. I won't go into this project in detail, into this slide in detail. I think it's for information, just to give some detail. And this slide shows our allocations per program. And you can see from the figures that the reduction in our personnel budget. And the way that we're managing this is because we spent more than 99% of our personnel budget last financial year. And given that our personnel budget is decreasing over the MTF, including this financial year from last financial year, we don't have any money basically to fill posts. So I did mention that the minister approved the new structure. We do have vacancies on the new posts on the new structure, but we don't have any money to fill them, given that we spent 99% of our personal budget and our personal budget is decreasing. The only way we can possibly fill any posts is if we take any money that arises from natural attrition during the course of the year, and rather than just automatically fill posts, which become vacant when people resign or retire, we can take that money and have a process of using that money to prioritize really key critical posts for filling. That is the process that we're engaged in. That's the only way we can fill any additional posts during the current financial year. So we do, as a department, have staff shortages in many areas, but we don't have the personal budget to fill those vacancies. And we will have to wait until the fiscal situation in the country improves and when we allocate larger personal budgets in future. In the meantime, we will have to make do with the personnel that we have and all just work hard to deliver, even though we have staff shortages in some areas. Turning to the question about the contribution to the Reconstruction Recovery Plan, broad-based Black economic empowerment and localization. There's a range of ways in which we're contributing to the Reconstruction and Recovery Plan. As indicated earlier, we are working on institutional reforms and alignment of our entities with the aim of building capable institutions, which is one of the goals of the National Development Plan and the Reconstruction and Recovery Plan. As I indicated earlier, one of our key contributions to economic growth is through the issuing of water use licenses. Many industries require water use licenses and businesses in order to do their work. It's very important that we manage the use of water by industry very carefully, given that we're a water scarce country, and also given our past. The water use allocations need to be managed very carefully so that we don't perpetuate the racial patterns of the past with regard to water use license allocations, and that we achieve transformation in that regard. So we have to do a very thorough job of issuing water use license, but at the same time as doing a very thorough job, we must be efficient and quick as possible with the turnaround times. And as I indicated, we have made progress in that regard, and we hope to make more progress this financial year. With our process of putting in place the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency, which, by the way, the bill is currently out for public consultation. It's currently in NEDLAC. There's a NEDLAC task team considering the bill, It's due to be completed in mid-June, and then we will take the bill with any suggested amendments to Cabinet for approval for it to be submitted to Parliament. But if and when the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency bill is passed as a law in Parliament and we establish the agency and it's successful in raising a lot more money for investments in national water resource infrastructure, that will also be a major contributor to economic growth and investments. At a more granular level, in terms of skills development, the department does have a learning academy. It's something we're very proud of as a department, and in terms of its achievements, in terms of bringing young people into the sector, and giving them exposure both in the department and across the sector in areas related to water, such as engineering, civil engineering, and scientists. In terms of infrastructure investments, which is a major stimulus for economic growth, our infrastructure allocations total more than 60 billion rands. And I think the fact that we are mobilizing large amounts of money from private sector finance is also very important for economic growth and for reconstruction and development, because government doesn't have enough money to do all this investment on its own. And because the private sector has a lot of money, which it would like to invest more in public infrastructure. But the general problem is that government hasn't been bringing in enough bankable projects to the market for them to invest in. So I think we can say as the water sector, particularly at national and water board level, we're doing relatively well in terms of bringing bankable projects to the market for greater levels of private sector investment. Our big challenge is to assist municipalities to get more private sector investment at that level. We have established a water partnerships office together with the DBSA and SALGA to assist municipalities in that regard. We have put in place much better systems of internal control to prevent and detect unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And we are seized with the processing of the historic cases to get them off our balance sheet and out of our audit reports through carrying out investigations and disciplinary processes so that the irregular expenditure can be condoned by National Treasury. In addition to the formal public-private partnerships and commercial relationships that we have with the private sector for investment in the water sector, we also have non-commercial partnerships with the private sector. For example, in Limpopo, we have a major non-commercial collaboration with the mines, working through the Lebolelo Water Users Association to build a major bulk water pipeline in the Sekukuni and Mogalakwena areas of Limpopo, as well as distribution infrastructure to communities along the bulk pipeline. So this project will assist both the mines who need the bulk water, but also the communities along the pipeline who will be provided with reticulated water through the project. This is a joint partnership with the mines where we're each allocating 50%. And we are finalized an agreement with similar agreements, mining houses in the Northern Cape for the Valhamahara project, which is similar. Of course, we also contribute to reconstruction, recovery and BBBE and localization through our procurement. And DPME sets standard targets and indicators that we need to report on in this regard. In the last financial year, 27% of our procurement was awarded to companies with 50% or more woman ownership, 5% to companies with 50% or more youth ownership, 1% to companies with 50% or more ownership by people with disabilities, and 62% to companies with at least 50% black ownership. We also have a standard policy across the department for both the projects that we implement on national water resource infrastructure and through our internal construction unit, and for the projects implemented by municipalities and through implementing agents on behalf of municipalities, that there must be the involvement of local contractors in all the projects. So we endeavour to source local contractors and local materials so that local economies can be supported as we implement our projects. Turning to the vacant positions within the department, as I've indicated, the Minister did approve a new organisational structure in September last year, which we're in the process of implementing through absorbing employees into the post from the new structure on the postal system. Once the absorption process has been completed, we envisage that there'll be approximately 3,000 vacancies on the structure, but as I've indicated, we don't have money to fill those vacancies. We have filled all of our top management positions, however, barring one DDG position which recently became vacant after the official was dismissed for financial misconduct. And all, we have also filled all of our chief director positions. Some of them have, since we filled them all, become vacant again through natural attrition, and those ones are being filled. So we're prioritising keeping the top structure of the department positions filled in the interest of stability and leadership for the department. Turning to the question about legal impediments to economic transformation, we have found that there are some legal impediments to the department achieving its objectives regarding the transformation of water use allocations in the country. And we have developed some minor but important amendments to the National Water Act, which have been recently been taken through the cluster system over the last few months and will be submitted to Cabinet during this month for approval for gazetting for public comment. And these issues include issues related to the functioning of the irrigation boards and water user associations, how we deal with historic water use allocations, and the ease with which underutilized water use allocations can be reallocated in the interest of transformation. As I indicated earlier, we've set up our Water Partnerships Office during the course of last financial year to assist municipalities to enter into more public-private partnerships for water services. But at the moment, one of the reasons why there aren't so many of those public-private partnerships at municipal level is because the regulatory framework for PPPs means that it often takes many years and is very expensive to put in place a PPP. We know that National Treasury is in the process of reviewing the PPP regulatory framework, and we hope that that review will be completed soon and that the new regulations will be issued so that such partnerships can be entered into easier and more easily and quicker by municipalities while still ensuring that there's due diligence. Another obstacle to having more private sector investment in municipal water services is Part 2 of the Municipal Systems Act, which requires onerous consultation processes, which are often very lengthy. They can take years before a municipality can enter into a public-private partnership. The next slide, Chairperson, is our progress on the Giani Water Project. And I'd like to, with your permission, Chair, ask our DDG for Water Services, Rizzi Marty Marty, to talk to this slide because he's been managing the project. And he can elaborate on some of the points as he presents the slide. Is it Marty?
Proceed, DG. It's fine.
Okay. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. I hope I'm audible.
Very much so. Thank you. Proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Just on the previous slide, slide 17, on the control, as the DG has mentioned when he gave the opening remarks, one of the key issues to report on is the Giani project. Chair, this project, they started way back in 2010. It was, of course, subjected to a couple of issues, one of which is the SIU investigation. So it's quite historic, and the data is well documented in terms of what happened in the past, the on and off. But I want to move straight to where we are now, since the minister took office in August 2021. One of the key issues was that this project, the Giani project, needs to be accelerated to reach finality. And if I may just take a moment, Chair, to say that the Giani project has some components which I think it's fair that we at least put clarity into that. One of the main components was to augment and take water from the Nandoni Dam to Giani in Sami. Now, this is the project which is about 40.5 kilometers in length. The pipe that leaves Nandoni has to take raw water to Giani. But there's also another component that leaves the very same area in the treatment works in Bembe, there in Nandoni, which is supposed to take clean water to other areas, and I will elaborate in that. But the main one which we are presenting here, Chair, is the Giani, the Nandoni Tunsame bulk line, which is basically covered as bullet number 4 in our presentation, where we are saying, since the minister took office, the acceleration of the same bulk line was accelerated with the aim to take water from Nandoni Dam to Uwembe, in Uwembe rather, Kunsami, which is in Giani under Mupani. The intention was to increase capacity in the dam in terms of the raw water, which should then be treated or cleaned at Nsami water treatment works. And the reason for augmenting this bulk line, Chair, from Nandoni to Giani is because all along for the past couple of years, the line or the system which is supposed to bring raw water, which is the middle Litaba, has been dry and we've been having issues in that part to augment or to get more water into Giani treatment works, whereby this bulk line from Nandoni is meant to balance the system and at least bring relief to raw water that should then be treated in Giani. So that is the first key component. Now, if you look at bullet number 5 there, it says that the intention of this raw water that must be moved from Nandoni to Uwembe, I mean to Mopane rather, is to ensure and increase the treatment capacity and to ensure that those 55 villages that are commonly spoken of in the news under Mopane district will at least receive a much more sustainable and an improved level of service in terms of water provision. And I must say this, Chair, that of current, those 55 villages are receiving water in an intermittent supply, part of which the municipality uses communal standpipes where people have to move a distance to get water. So the increase of the raw water to the dam will therefore allow the municipality to treat more water in the treatment works, which will then increase the level of service since the next phase, which I will talks about the reticulation of the 55 villages that you see there. The second component was about the upgrade and the refurbishment of the treatment works in Sami, which we can say that the contract has been appointed, is in progress to increase, I mean, to optimize the current capacity of the treatment works. It is not operating at full capacity, Chair. It's supposed to produce at least 30 megaliters a day. But in the previous years, there were issues in terms of the functionality where the capacity actually declined to roughly around 20 to 25 megaliters a day. Now, the contractor is there to optimize and reduce the losses in that treatment works. In other words, when we bring more raw water from Nandoni to Giani, this treatment work will then be able to treat more water and thereafter supply the 55 villages that we are basically speaking about. The sub-bullet three there is that the department, through the minister's intervention, is that we have allocated or committed $1.3 billion through our WISTA grant. This money is going towards the reticulation of the 55 villages. And I will explain a bit more later in a minute as to how are we actually reticulating those 55 villages. And to date, we can confirm that at least 27 contractors have been appointed for the first phase. Now, if you go to the next slide, I will elaborate a little bit more. Is that, Chair, we have actually divided the intervention into two, specifically on the 55 villages. The commitment is that the first commitment is we are going to reticulate 24 villages as part of phase one, and that is where we are saying 27 contractors to date have actually been appointed, but in total, we are expecting 37 contractors to be appointed to reticulate those 24 villages through our $1.3 billion that we have actually committed. Now, slide 18, Chair, introduces to us what will then take this water from the treatment works to the villages. We have got sub-pipes there, like pipeline A, where we are basically classifying the villages that are basically going to benefit from the water that we will treat from the and summit treatment works in Guyana to the villages. So if you look there, you will see the villages 1 to 17 on the left, and you see pipeline A, and then that those are the names of the villages that are going to benefit from that pipeline A. Now, you may ask the question, what is basically is pipeline A? Pipeline A is the pipe that we have classified that when we treat water from the treatment works in Nsami after putting enough from Wembe, this pipeline A is the bulk farm line that links all those villages, but at least pipeline A brings treated water after the treatment works. So it brings clean water that must link all those villages. Pipe B does the same. And when you look in the fourth column, it says village number 18 until 33. It shows pipeline C, pipeline D, and also on top it indicates how many households are basically going to benefit. And if we move to slide 19, in slide 19, we are also showing the committee the number of villages that are also going to benefit. And if you look there on the left, it goes all the way to number 55. So this basically indicates that these are the 55 villages that we are talking about that should benefit after the water has been treated. It doesn't mean, Chair, as I must emphasize, that currently these villages are not receiving water. As I've said, they are receiving water in an intermittent approach where it's not constant because of the capacity of the treatment works. All those pipelines are phased in a phased approach where pipeline, for instance, pipeline F1 is completed, is aligned to us reticulating those villages. For instance, on top 45, it says Makosha, it says Kamakosha, Siandani, and so forth. So that's how the rest of the 55 villages is basically aligned. And then I would want us to move to the next slide, which is slide 20. Slide 20, Chair, it's just moving a bit slowly on my side. It's not yet reflecting. Yes, thank you. So slide 20 also indicates how impactful the project will have. As I've said, the one portion of the project of the Guyana project was that when we move raw water from Nandoni to Nsami, one first component was to bring the untreated water that is going to leave the dam and goes to Guyana. to be treated in the summit treatment works. Thereafter, supplied those 55 villages. That is just one part of it. The other part of it, Chair, is that from the very same Nandoni, there is a water treatment works which then brings a clean water, part of which it supplies areas around the Bembe district municipality where the dam is positioned. But what the department has done is that in the same manner, we are also increasing the capacity of the water treatment works in Bembe, in Nandoni, from 60 megaliters to 120 megaliters at the moment. And the intention of that, Chair, is that we are moving another pipe, not raw water this time, but clean water that leaves the treatment works. It can supply all these areas that you see here, Malamlele, Makume, Keshkelani, and all those villages. So all these villages are going to benefit directly from the clean water that leaves the treatment works in Nandoni. So in summary, Chair, this project has got a couple of components. The first component, which has now been completed, is to move raw water, untreated water, from Nandoni Dam to Nsami, and this water must then be treated and cleaned at Nsami treatment works. And we are saying the 40 and a half kilometers that leaves Nandoni to Nsami has been completed. It basically now able to bring water to Giani. The contractor for the treatment works is currently under upgrade. The contractor is on site. The anticipated completion of that should be later in the year, before December, and that project is currently on the ground. The recirculation of the 55 villages, phase one of the project is on. 27 contractors have been appointed to recirculate those 24 villages of phase one. The balance of those villages, which is 31, we are currently finalizing planning so that we are able to augment the next phase at the beginning of the next financial year. And the last issue, Chair, is that on the recirculation of the 24 villages, which is phase one, the anticipated completion is that sometime early next year, around April, the recirculation of the first 24 villages, this should be completed. And also these ones that are benefiting from the clean water, as you see in this slide, there is an acceleration. The project for that clean pipeline is also completed. The issue now is to do recirculation for these villages to see also that at least they benefit from the clean water. The next slide.
Thank you very much, Rizzi Marty. That's the last slide. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That brings us to the end of the presentation.
Thank you very much on behalf of the Ministry. We have done our presentation, and on behalf of Matsingwane, we are formally handing over to you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Deputy Minister Mashobo, DG Phillips and the team for the presentation. Now we'll get to the next phase, which is me allowing the honorable members to indicate that they would like to engage with the presentation. Honorable members, you know how we do it. Can I get the names?
Mary.
I'm from Mary.
Tobias.
Okay, I'm writing Mary. Honorable Menezi, Honorable Tobias,
Matapa,
Tangwini,
Honorable Tangwini. Yes, all members.
Kaiso.
Honorable Kaiso. Did I miss anyone, or members? I've got Ron Mare, Ron Memezi, Ron Tobias, Ron Matafa, Ron Tangwini, and Ron Taiso.
Yes, Chem Lenzana. I'm busy fighting with this gadget. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm fighting with it.
Okay. Thank you, Rom Lenzana. I think those are the oral members who commenting and posing questions for clarification from your side, and Honorable Minister, Deputy Ministers, and DG. So let me allow Oral Mare to start. Oral Mare.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate. Thank you for the presentation. It was quite enlightening, I must say. So thank you for the DG and the Deputy Minister and everybody that participated in this. First, I want to ask, I know about the request for water licenses to, as far as possible, be prioritized and to be approved, if needed to be approved, within 90 days. Can the DG just give us an indication what number of applications is currently with the department? And I know he did say they work to get it actually decreased and get it done. But I understand as well there's a problem with the necessary staff or personnel. How do they anticipate they will actually get this number down from to a period within 90 days of application? That's first. Second, it was mentioned, and it was one of my questions, but about the new bill that's coming forward, would that be still in this year for the department to be done? And then thirdly, I want to ask about the Clan William Dam as such. I know it's not mentioned at all in the presentation, as I already seen as well the three top priorities of the department as far as dams and water pipelines and is concerned. Can the minister or the DG just give us an update on the Clan William Dam? It comes to my attention that it may be shifted to 25, 26 as the priority for completion, but we're now in 2023 and we will miss this year's rainfall 23, 24 and 25 because that project is largely aimed to expand actually the agriculture sector as far as job creation is concerned. And the president did say in his SOPA, the number of jobs that he wants to create throughout South Africa. And that project is directly linked to job creation, the Clan William Dam. And the fourth one, I just thank you. I'm so glad about the infrastructure fund through Public Works and Treasury. I would appreciate if DG can just provide maybe our secretary applications for that specific fund or grants. Can I say why I'm asked this? Because I did do an oversight visit to Witwoerter, that is a dam that is within the West Coast West Coast District Municipality that is there for like 20, 30 years. But they actually service from that facility the municipalities of Bergrivier, Swartland and Saldanha. Now, over the years, the number of people in those areas have increased significantly. So the facility itself is run very well, but the one reservoir can't do it anymore. So we're talking about a second reservoir to be built. And we're talking about around about, I suppose, the amount of maybe 27 million rand for another big reservoir to hold water and to be distributed to those municipalities. So, and this question or remark is more related then to the infrastructure fund that is through Public Works and taking hands with water and sanitation. Thank you, sir. Appreciate.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mare. Oral Memezi, please come in.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe let me start, Chairperson, by appreciating the department. Let me start with the Minister, Umatengwana. I've often heard that new brooms usually sweep clean. It seems, from what I see, indeed, Matungana and his team are taking us, taking our spirit high in as far as what we have seen. Like the Deputy Minister Mashobo was indicating, since the minister came in, indeed we have seen him availing himself, leading from the front, in particular in areas where there was a lot of demands, lot of problems for water, whether it's the PE in Eastern Cape, whether it's some problems in KZN, even in Gauteng, even in Limpopo. So I think from that introduction by Deputy Minister Mashobo, I can't help but do indicate that he's lifting our spirit, in particular for myself. I'm saying so, Chairperson, knowing the difficulties the department have gone through in the past. So one is indeed feeling his spirit lifted. Now coming to the projects that have also been lifting the spirit of our communities in all the provinces. You can mention the Mzimvubu project in the Eastern Cape OR Tambo district. These are indeed, whether you go to Mkomazi, these are lifting our spirit. What then would be, I can mention all these key projects, you see, the Nandoni, the Josini Dam, the Giane, they are all lifting our spirits. But now my question to the DG, who also presented a very convincing presentation. I must also appreciate DG calmly. You have done your work. I think you guys are properly trained to make us feel good, you see, as you present. I also like when you talk about your own lack of spending properly, your under expenditure previous year of 85, which amounted to 2 billion. So I think I appreciate when you say it yourself and even give us reasons, in particular on the staff side, that it would have caused you problems, and to this year you committing and you are already indicating that you are already at 95.4, which is also lifting the spirit. So Chair, sounding like a praise singer at this juncture, but that is not where I am. In the project I've mentioned, which were mentioned by DG and Deputy Minister, this big project, whether it's Lesotho areas. Now, what I think I need are timelines in all these projects. I think DG tried, but I think I need more convincing, noting that some of these projects have been with us for some time. The Mzimvubu Dam has been with us, has been like a song of the department. You see, so now we need more convincing timelines and more convincing in all the projects. I think that's what would be my request in all the projects that are mentioned. We need timelines. I think Deputy Director who was presenting on the project in November did try to indicate as such, but we still need more convincing on timelines. The projects are indeed spirit lifting. One key aspect that I also appreciate from the DG presentation, this indication commitment of assisting municipalities as well, even in forming a strategic partnership, I think is really a project that we will be looking closely, noting the problems in municipalities. You know, in Padla, KZN, Ugu district, where you have Hibiscus municipality, they forever run out of water. The communities in those areas are forever crying, like the communities in Gauteng, in the Tswane, Hammarskraal areas, they are forever, you know, without water. Now I'm looking at this kind of intervention bringing fruits to those communities. I'm looking forward into those things. The elimination of improper expenditure as well. The presentation did mention that. Indeed, it's a worrying aspect that previously we have seen a lot of expenditure, but which were not to the liking of us and the community. So the fact that now the DG is indicating that is looking at eliminating of all those, which means the expenditure that we are witnessing now, we are going to witness, the expenditure that indeed makes the community happy. Towards my end, I can't afford not to talk about, because, you know, the contribution of the department to South Africa's economic reconstruction and recovery plan and the black economic empowerment is something that we want not to talk about, but we want to see it happening, in particular in these rural areas. We want to see individuals that are from those areas, not people all from the big metropolitan areas taken to those areas. If you are in Mzimfubu, let's see the people that are uplifted in those communities. If you are in Nandoni, let's see people uplifted in those communities, wherever, because these projects are spread across South Africa. It can indeed help us to ensure that the people of South Africa see the government as the government that is indeed for the people. One last point, Chair. Indeed, I do know that there have been legal impediments to economic transformation, and even for us communities to access water, there have been impediments from the past. Now I'm hearing in the presentation that the Water Act amendment would help us to do away with those apartheid, things that are making water almost guaranteed for a particular group. Now, what would be my question would be the speeding up of those amendments. When is the director expecting this to be done? Because we want these impediments to be removed as soon as possible. Chairperson, I want to end by indeed appreciating the department, Umagingwana and Dimiake, Director General. I think this presentation from where I sit is uplifting, but I've indicated we had been uplifted before. Our speed to uplifted, but the proof of pudding happened to be different. So we hope this time, indeed, the presentation would have the team that would walk the talk. Let me end there, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Memezi. Honorable Tobias, please come in.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to all. Chair, I also appreciate the presentation, and please stop me if I'm long-winded. First, let me start with a comment that the opportunity costs on the regulations, the Minister of the PPCs, will have a diminishing effect if no clear strategy that is being implemented. And if the
recording stopped,
does not pay attention to this, we'll see some ramifications on that, and I hope we should attend to that. But second to that, I am pleased with the augmentation of the Giani pipeline for treatment. This is good news, actually. But I want to understand at what cost will it come to the fiscus, and whether the projections and has been made, and how much is it, if I can get that. Thirdly, I want to know whether have you also considered water reticulation being converted to a partnership between the private sector and the state as part of Black economic empowerment, because that's the only point at which we can maximize job creation and economic growth. So I want to know if have you considered this. Fourthly, I want to know what is the policy of distribution, looking at the fact that the South African business of late has developed a perspective on government services, specifically on reticulation and distribution services. And you know what's happening in ESCOM. So I want to know whether the water stakeholders have challenged you, be it through litigation or elsewhere in a discussion on this matter, and whether have you considered distribution better handled by either the department or the private sector. I want your opinion on that. Fifthly, the Umzimbuvu project, to me, it's one of the things I'm happy about, because during my youth days, I used to watch in awe and dismay how people who lived along that dam did not have access. So we need to applaud you, Minister, for what you are doing in relation to that. My last point, Minister, I want to hereby request your good self to observe the Western Cape government. And I'm citing a personal anecdote. I happened to stay in Wynberg. A few days ago, the taps, and it's not the first time, the taps were releasing brown water. So the challenges of the water is not only elsewhere in the country, but also in the Western Cape. And the last point is also the Vaal Dam. The management of the dam by the rainwater might have serious repercussions if not attended to by NASHDA. For instance, about a few weeks ago, the sluice gates were opened to the detriment of both the household and businesses that stays along the Vaal River banks. So I would want really to have your comments on that. Thank you very much. And the last point, I want to know in all the benefit, what is the benefit to a household in terms of all the projects that you have implemented? How many jobs will be created? How many households will get water? Because I can see you are hard at work. Thank you very much.
Honorable Tobias, thank you very much. Honorable Matafa, can you please come in?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Minister, and the two DMs, DG and his guests and members. Chair, let me start by welcoming the presentation and agree with Honorable Mehmet that it's enlightening, and maybe we might run a risk of being cheerleaders when we start commending the good work that is being done. But I am prepared to take that risk, Chair, and maybe start by commending the opening remarks by the DM, particularly when he speaks on the move to ensure that all critical and senior positions are filled and the progress that is made around those lines. And also on the issue of good work on the department's project implementation,
and the Giani Water Project progress report that we received is very encouraging. Even though the deadline has been missed, but the work that is being done and the report that is received, it does give some hope that very soon it will be completed. Chair, that being said, I just have a few points of clarity that I would want to pose and then maybe request the DG and his team and maybe the political leadership just to respond to them. The first one is on the issue of the comments that were made by the DM in terms of filling the vacant post. We note that slide 6 presents a 95% budget spend, which is very commendable. However, in the 5% of compensation of employees, we see a fee or a sum of 23 million underspend in terms of compensation of employees. And I believe that sound reasons have been advanced, particularly with the intention of avoiding over expenditure in that particular line item. Now, my question, Chair, is just to find out when the DG says there were certain positions that were not filled deliberately in order to avoid over expenditure, what criteria did the department use to decide on which post not to fill? Secondly, what impact, if any, will not filling of this post have on the work of the department? Chair, this ties up with slide number 11, which speaks of headcount and compensation ceilings. And the slide further speaks of a vacancy rate of 3,000 vacancies. Now, the question that I have, slide 11 covers the area of service delivery. Now, while we wait for natural attrition, what is the impact of having these 3,000 vacancies unfilled as far as the quality of service delivery is concerned? Because for this number to be put on a slide of service delivery, I think the department is saying to us, yes, here we might have a challenge. Service delivery might be impacted. So if that is the case, what is the extent of the likely impact? And also, what measures are there put by the department just to ensure that the impact is not too negative to the end user? Chair, going back to the remarks of the DM and the inputs on the Giani Water project, I know Honorable Tobias touched to that and raised a few questions. Maybe mine would be in terms of the expected time frame of completion. When are we likely to be cutting the ribbon and saying we are done, the project is done and dusted, and we have achieved the full implementation? Chair, whilst on the issue of the Giani Dam, in terms of providing water security, this is a matter that was not touched in the presentation. I would be interested just to find out the impact of load shedding on ensuring water security for all in the country. It has become accepted that load shedding might pose a risk to water security due to some of the operational requirements of the Water and Sanitation Department requiring electricity. How is the department being affected by the challenge of load shedding? And Chair, we don't take away the fact of the good work that the government is doing in terms of its fight against load shedding, including, amongst others, the appointment of the electricity minister. So if we can just be taken into the department confidence in terms of what is being done in order to ensure that whilst we are moving to a point where we eradicate load shedding, what can be the solution to that? My last point, Chair, is on the issue of Hamas Kraal. I know Honorable Memezi did touch on it, but did not pose any particular question, that it is a challenge that is lingering. It is a point of concern, especially for someone like me who comes from the area. Maybe the department can advise the committee if whether is there any interaction between the department, the community, and the city of Tshwane in ensuring that this project is resolved once and for all. Chair, I'm raising this because we have reached a stage of desperation by our residents, where they even start moving house to house to collect money to be able to lodge a legal action so that someone, either the municipality, the province or national, take this matter of the water reticulation plants in and around the area of Hammanskraal, particularly the Royval, Klephart, Bavian Sport water reticulation treatment plants, to be fixed so that they are also able to be provided with clean water, which for us, we think that it's something that is enshrined in the Constitution as a requirement that needs to be provided. Let me just check my notes, Chair. I just have one other point. I just needed to check. Oh yeah, Chair, the last one is just a question on the municipal debts to water boards. If maybe we can be informed of the quantum and if whether are there any measures that are being taken in order to assist the water boards be able to collect what is due to them. I will pause there, Chair, and appreciate the presentation once more and you giving me the opportunity to take part in the discussion. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Matafa, thank you very much. Honorable Tlangwini, please come in.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the department for the presentation. Let me start right ahead, Chair, on what the Honorable Matafa have asked on the water boards, if we can be enlightened as to how much is the debt of the water boards, the outstanding municipal debt owed to the water boards, and which or what intimate risk of collapse and what support interventions have the department undertaken to ensure that these water boards are not liquidated or declare insolvency. And I think the Honourable Matafa have also touched on the load shedding issue. The second last one, Chair, that I want to ask, what is the proposed interventions for the water crisis in Nelson Mandela? And what is allocation have the department make to ensure that this problem is sorted out within the Nelson Mandela region? And then lastly, also on the employer's chair, that the DG has mentioned that they have decided to put a halt on the vacancies. Yet again, as Honorable Matafa have also alluded, in what criteria was used so that we can know which posts were put on hold. And then lastly, do the department, or what is the amount of on the expenditure on using of consultants? Do you make use of consultant services as well? And then, Chair, on the privatization of the water, the DGF have made alluded to it in the in sourcing funding from the private sector. How will they ensure that the normal households are not hit it hard in terms of paying a lot of money to have access to water, and how will they will ensure that all South Africans are having clean water and it's not increased at an exacerbate, since we want to outsource some of these functions to the private sector? And then lastly, I think the Giani project, water project, have been coming for far too long, Chair. The department must tell us as to when are they finally going to tell us when is this project going to be done? Because, I mean, we are, our term of office is nearly finishing next year, And there's most likely going to come in a new Minister of Water and Sanitation. And then this will just be prolonged and prolonged to the next term and so forth. So the department must give us an indication as to when this will be finally be sorted out. And because the state can't, up to date, how much money was plundered into the Giyane Water Project, and they can't still give sustainable water to our communities and our villages. The gentlemen that have alluded to and made the presentation of the Giyane Water have even made a point as to at some times the they can't provide water to some of these villages, and that is really sort of an injustice of this community's constitutional right to have access to water on a daily basis and clean water. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shangli. Honorable Taiso, please come in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much, Minister, for the presentation and progress that has been presented before the committee. Chair, I have a number of areas that I want the department to respond or intervene. Firstly, we must acknowledge, Honorable Chair, that our municipalities are in a very serious situation, that one often thinks that maybe it will be proper. Remember that our task as a committee is not only to look at the money, but we also look at the impact. The impact, because it's one element which we must identify as we follow our money. So now, looking at our local municipalities countrywide, we know that they are facing very serious challenges of capacity in many respects, including, you know, issues of sanitation is one biggest problem. I just want to make an example, for instance, the issue on sanitation. Here at my constituency, Honorable Deputy Minister, there's a huge, beautiful, very big plant or sewage plant there, which there was an attempt to build it, but it collapsed. It has collapsed, and if you can check that plant, it costs several thousands of rands, if not millions, but it has collapsed, and you can see what excitement it can bring to those people who are living in Taban in future. If that sewage plant, because it's the only biggest sewage plant that you find as you travel around the township there. But it has collapsed because of municipalities. The metro municipality has its own challenges. And then you also go to Mikkelen Fixberg. And as you know, the history of Mikkelen Fixberg, as early as 2011, you know the incident which happened there, and which many people have found it, you know, a useful tool to mobilize and play around the emotions of the people in that particular area. They actually use Mikkelen and then the 2011 story of Mikkelen, of the protest which arose in that area. Now, there is this situation of a spillage to Caledon River because of collapse of the sewage plant. So I'm just mentioning this example to say our municipalities, one asks himself as to whether do they still have capacity to deal with the issues of sanitation. I really doubt when it comes to this, because, and this is one of the easiest low-hanging fruit for people to cause eruption around. Whereas these should be, you know, be able to be attended to at an earlier stage. So now, it has become a perennial problem when we go around looking at the challenges that our communities find themselves. So I think the department needs to really look at this earnestly, especially around, because it's a perennial problem, the issue of sanitation, and it's often not adequately funded. So it also includes even to an extent in urban areas. On the issue of disaster management, we know we have an experience. We had an experience around the recent disaster in KZN and part of the country in the Eastern Cape.
Recording in progress.
Surely the government has obtained or has gained some experience as to how in future this type of disaster can be, you know, handled more better, especially when it comes to sanitation. So I just want to know from the department, has the department grown that tact as to how the issue of, you know, sanitation is infused well in each project as you implement a project? Have you found a way that we should not experience what we experienced in KZN around the disaster? So on maybe one has to also come and agree with my honorable members around the issue of the Guyane project. It's an example which demonstrates the need for the district development model to ensure integrated development, as a reticulation was not adequately planned for and implemented. So my question is, how is the department ensuring it plans and implements projects along the water supply value chains within water schemes to avoid the Guyane problem? Thank you very much, Chair. I'll come back if there's anything.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Taiso. Honorable Lenzana, please come in.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Let me also join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation. You know, Chairperson, DM Mashobo, Mpangazida, taught me a slogan which ended up running within my blood circulatory system. Mpangazita used to say to us, water is life and sanitation is dignity. So whenever we think of water, we think of our life. Minister and your team, let me start with a generic question. Just an update so that South Africans can understand our relations with Lesotho in terms of water. There's Lesotho water, then there is the flood flow which gets into Free State and also into Alfred Nzo of the Eastern Cape. How are we benefiting from that as South Africans? Or vice versa, is the water from us flowing to Lesotho or from Lesotho to us, and how? Just a 2 minute or less lesson, so that South Africans can know. And they can also know as to whether if it happened that there would be areas which are actually a source of water but inversely not benefiting whilst they are the providers of water. The other one, my friend one, you know, DM spoke of this, and you know, he provoked my thinking. It's about role play. Here is a person who have got three role players. Pardon my voice, it's still like yesterday, but I'm getting better. Can you hear me, Mr. President?
Loud and clear, Honorable Lentz.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I haven't yet recuperated. You have got three role players here, Chairperson. You have got the department, you have got municipalities, you have got water boards. Now, for the community listening to understand who does what in terms of powers and functions, in terms of your quality checks, you are talking at the Mpangazeta, for instance, of your bulk water supply. And I think somebody seated there would want to know who does what in terms of the bulk water supply, who does what in terms of reticulation up to the end of one sitting when opening the tap as there is water coming out. Because look, this chairperson would also go to the extent of who then takes the blame for understanding. I understand which relates to your human resource and all. But now, when it comes to your capital expenditure, who has to monitor who in terms of the three? Honorable Kaiso touched a little on the one not paying the other in terms of, for instance, municipalities versus water boards, where water boards would be saying they have some municipalities which owe them and all that. Now, if that could be explained. Now, the other one, which also is an old question, is about the exploitation of water from private properties. You have got, I'm not racist here, and I'm not fighting the farmers, but you would have individuals, so to speak, who are owning land in South Africa, and within the areas that they are owning, there would be dams. Now, how do we exploit that water as South Africans? If that also could be explained to us, Chair, let me get to another one. Now, on implementation of the new employment structure, you know, how does implementation of the new employment structure respond to increasing technical capacity, and which capacities are prioritized, if we could be clarified. And then the last question is, though it is a bit encompassing also, it looks inert. Do we have projects, separately, let me put it like that, do we have projects which we can categorize as low-hanging fruits that could be implementable within the current financial year, so as to ensure that we do realize household access water. And if we do have, how many are such projects? Do we have location where we can say these are the areas where such projects are located? And do we have the actual financial allocation which would be required if we say pump in money now, this one will be done within this period. And are we able to break down such into the number of households that would actually benefit? Thanks for the presentation once more, Mpingwana and Tim. We were always encouraged, particularly around the manner in which you are struggling to work around dealing with understanding. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Nenzana. Before I allow the team to come in, let me give you the last bite, and please be brief now. You could see I was very liberal with time, allowed you to raise all the issues. But again, even to be more liberal, oral members, let me take the last round and see, Oral Mare, anything coming from you?
I'm fine, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Oral Mare. Oral Memezi?
Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Oral Memezi. Oral Tobias?
Anything from you?
Come again.
I'm good. I don't have a further question for now, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Matafa?
No, thank you, Chair. I'm okay. Thank you.
Honorable Tlangwini?
It is right, Chair. I see a further question.
Thank you. Honorable Kaiso?
Yes, Chair. I just want to ask one. How many illegal dams are there in the country? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Lenzana?
No, thanks, Chair. I'm fine. This question by Honorable Kaiso. Yeah.
Okay, it's related to your question.
Yes, that's why I'm laughing.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. Let me have my bite to the presentation. That's where my colleagues have ended, to thank all the presenters for their presentations. So my first question will be, a big problem that we have in our rivers and dams, it's what we call negative externalities, the effluent from the industries. The question is, what are we doing to deal with this problem? Are we making the polluters pay? Is that not a criminal activity? If it is, have we ever prosecuted anyone? And what were the outcomes? My next question, it's about the conditional grants to municipalities, which are a bigger percentage of the 773.226 million of payments for capital assets. My question, what exactly is the problem there? Because that seems to be a perennial problem, again, and a very a problem that we sort of get from all departments, but we just want to understand your understanding of the problem, because we can't have a situation where generally in government, that's what you find, that when it comes to the conditional grant to the municipalities, we have this a problem. But the impact of this is that at the end of the day, the people who are supposed to receive the service don't receive that service. The next question is, what is your assessment of the health of our water infrastructure in the country? Next question is about localization. Pipes are an important input in water provision. Among other things, ERRP, Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan, looks at is localization. So the question is, do we know whether the pipes that we are using are locally manufactured, so that we can make sure that we create more jobs and also impact on economic growth in the country? So it's about localization. Where do we get these pipes? Because we are going to need pipes today, tomorrow, and years to come. Are there any initiatives from our side to try and ensure that these pipes are manufactured in the country? While water is an important one, there are many other industries which would benefit from that. This is related again to Honorable Lenzana's question about local people benefiting from their work time. I'll make this example, and I would like to hear what's happening. In Beckville, KZN, there is a dam called Woodstock Dam. So in one of my oversight responsibilities, I went there, and the community was saying to me, while other people from other provinces complain about gold and platinum being taken from their localities and being exported to other places, their gold in Beckville is water from that dam. It's a very impressive dam. They said, we look at this dam, we see water coming from our place and going to Gauteng. But we as people of this place, especially the emerging farmers, are saying we don't benefit from this water. So the question is, Honorable DM your staff, is there anything that you are doing about that? I raised it with the department, I think 2-3 years ago, what's happening around this project. And yeah, I think that would be my last question. And Honorable Minister, Honorable DM, DG, DMs, DG, please respond to the questions, and we'll bring back the meeting to me once we are done with your responses as to who's response to what. It's your call, Honorable Minister. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. I will suggest that we handle it in a manner that allows everybody on the platform or most of us to respond. So I will allocate. I was trying to write as many questions as possible. If there are any omissions on my part, DMs are here. Now, the first question I would ask that it be responded to by DG, that is to Maria. It's water license, and what is the number process now? Just that on licenses. DG, you can allocate further if you want to. I don't know whether Zwane is here. You can respond. You can respond to that question. And the second question from Maria, which is Clan Williams, Leonardo will answer that question specifically in terms of time frames and so on. And DG will come back on infrastructure fund. Can we take those? Can we do those responses right now? And DM Matlovo, Shabalala, and myself, if there are any gaps here or any additions you want to do, we will do after they respond. DG.
Thank you, Minister. We currently have 233 licenses with us as the department. We are currently processing about 70% of our new water use license applications within the 90 days target set by the president. But with the, we've been implementing a program to improve our water use licensing, which has included training of staff, improving our eWoola digital water license application system, and business process re-engineering. We're currently in the last phase of that program, which is to hire about 100 additional staff to assist with processing of licenses in their department and our regional offices. And once that is what we're currently busy with, posts have been advertised and the process of being filled. Once that happens, then we are optimistic that we'll get much closer to the target of 100% of licenses processed within 90 days. Perhaps I should just do the infrastructure application, the infrastructure fund one at the same time, Minister. The major ones that we've recently obtained approval from National Treasury for the Umkomazi project, Umkomazi project for us, which is a huge project, over 20 billion rand project. And then there's a number of applications which have been approved for other bodies such as the water boards and municipalities. And we have a number in progress, but I suggest that we'll submit a list of all the approved infrastructure fund projects and all the ones in process to the committee after the meeting. Minister, there was also a question from Honourable Maria about whether the NWRA bill will be submitted to Parliament this year. It is our intention to do that. As I indicated, the bill is in public consultation now. It's currently in NEDLAC, being processed by a NEDLAC task team, which is due to complete its work in mid-June. So we will then immediately go back to Cabinet once that is finished and ask for Cabinet's approval to submit to Parliament. So if all of that goes well, hopefully we will submit to Parliament by the end of July or August. Leonardo?
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. From a perspective of the Glen William project. Yes, we understand that it was delayed because of the problems that we had internally as far as procurement is concerned, but that has now been at this point in time been addressed. That six of our major bids to actually ensure the progress that we can have and implementation of it has been processed, and it's now at the awarding stage, which means that we are signing contracts and placing orders with the various successful bidders, and we are working full steam to actually go ahead with the implementation or the commencement of the implementation of this project by June. We take cognizance of the fact that yes, we have the constraints of the rainfall patterns in the Western Cape, which is different to the rest of the country. But that has been worked into the project plan in terms of the wet seasons, where there might be certain limitations that we might be also faced with during this period of construction. We have other impediments at this point in time that's also perhaps causing us not to run as fast as we can, such as legal issues that we have to deal with in adjacent to the dam, like for instance in terms of the hydropower plant access, as well as the access to procured land or expropriated land, which is critical for the project processes. But that is being dealt with, and we are working around that, not to prevent us at this point in time to actually proceed going further as far as the Glen William project is concerned.
Thanks, Minister.
Thank you very much. DM Mashawa, do you want to add just on this category? And DM Shaolal after that, and then we'll wrap up on Mara's question. And then
just on the matter of licenses, let me just indicate my thing and sharing that the historical backlog in the licenses that were there after President and National Treasury had created an operation Vulindlela, removing those barriers. And when the department led by Matsingwane, we came in, all those backlogs have been removed. There are no licenses that are outstanding in the historical one, because Minister had to put a clear timeline. Most of the problems were mostly in the Western Cape, and those ones, we cleared them. The only issue that we just have to mention is that if there are those that are historical, Sheng, they are mainly with the Water Tribunal. And those that are with the Water Tribunal, their processes are taking a little bit of time. And Minister, the DG, they've met with the Tribunal. They've met with the tribunal, and the tribunal, remember, there was a time when they had to appoint the commissioners. That process takes a little bit of time, and these matters are being attended to. And we're very confident now, as the political leadership, that the new system that the DG has put in, the turnaround time of completing all of them within 90 days of that are 70%, we're doing well. But there are those that, in terms of capacity, like DG is saying, remember, some of them, they have designs. And these designs must be signed off by a qualified authority. It can't be signed by someone who's not a professional registered engineer. And we're very confident that licenses will never become an impediment around issues of development because the department is holding them back. That's the only matter, Matlingwane, will come in. The issue of the infrastructure fund will be guided by you, because at a particular point, you need to speak broadly about partnerships that you've been leading. It's not privatization, but at that point, you clarify the visit. Nova as well privatized and partisans are resource mobilization. Thank you.
Tim Shavarala, do you want to add on this question, on these questions? All right. We seem to have
I'm here. Thank you so much, Minister. I think from the responses you've given and what Tim Mahlobo and what we're doing on the regulations, and I think what's more important is the amendments we're bringing to the legislation that we need, obviously the support of the committee, but I think at this point I'm okay. Thank you so much.
Safe to say DM Shabalala, is the first time you appear before the committee. Would like to see you. That's number one. And number two, the people of South Africa would like to see who's responsible for their water.
I support you, Chair. We need to see her beautiful face.
All right. Yes, long live, Shengeng. Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Welcome, DM.
All right.
Bye, thank you.
All right, let's proceed to, I'll just respond once on the Honorable Members' issue, municipalities and their capacity and the interventions that we are doing. It talks to, I think, another question that was asked later. On the very same issue, the capacity of municipalities. I think for the record, all of us are aware in government, all spheres of government and all the arms of government, that our municipalities across the board are not doing well and have not performed up to the expectations either of all these arms of government and spheres of government, but much more particularly in accordance with the expectations of the people generally. And I must say, in some cases, you can actually talk about embarrassment, and to a large extent, you talk about low performance. Now, that low performance has affected, by and large, the provision of basic services across the board as a result of their incapacity, which they admit openly, like they did when we had the summit 2 days, 18 and 19 of February last year. That was in relation to water. But you can see that it is across the board. Just on roads, by now, my view is that we should be having quite a lot of roads that get into residential areas, not highways or big roads, even in villages, but getting into residence. If not tarred, they should be better, far better than this, especially in rural areas. But what municipalities have done over time is to merely redo the tarred roads that have been there when they started way back in 96 and so on. And there are no clear explanations as to why there's no shift in this regard. There may be few exceptions here and there. If you are urban, you will insist on routes that are around the CPDs, But in townships, you would leave them with the potholes and the like. And that is across the board once more. Now, on water, water has a distinction. Water provision has a distinction in the sense that it's a sensitive area. Water is life. Water is a right, constitutionally entrenched. And it is emotional. You can do almost anything if you are deprived of water, just to fight for your rights, because it even affects the body, your brain, your heart, your lungs, everything, because it requires water across the board. That's why, so if a person deprives you of water, in other words, it's depriving you of life itself at a personal level, and therefore it becomes very emotional. Now, we then have sought to intervene even, I mean, in areas or across what would ordinarily be expected in accordance with legislation. There was a question, what does the department do? What boards do? What does municipality do? We are responsible for resource management, water resource management, according to legislation. We are responsible also of a bulk water supply. We are responsible also of norms and standards as far as water services are concerned. But because of the fact that of what I've outlined, things have deteriorated in water such that if municipalities were to be left alone on this, it would mean that we're depriving people of their rights. We were with the Etiwini municipality yesterday, and special advisor Musipi Goli described the situation as a crime scene. That is, when you deprive people of their rights throughout the municipality, you are creating a crime scene, and so on, which is not permissible. We are therefore taking this as a priority, assisting. That's why the Sumati was even talking about us reticulating and actually giving you the number of villages and the names of those villages and the period at which will be finished and so on. Ordinarily, we wouldn't be doing that at the national level as a department. It would be the municipality that would be busy with that. But we have had to do it so that we protect the rights and to ensure that we pursue SDG 6 in terms of accessing water to people. And we take a responsibility because we are the only department of water. Municipalities are not municipalities of water. And therefore, things tend to happen the way things should, I mean, more or less like the design of government and so on. So what then do we do? We intervene. We no longer just rely on Section 63 or even 154. Yes, we do it. It's in the context. But we go to municipalities and say, you are unable to do 1-3 in water provision. And this is the extent, this is the impact, this is the problem. And therefore, we want to work with you. And this is what we are proposing. And then we start working together. You are going to see the Department of Water and Sanitation working very closely with the Tewin via Umgeni Water Board in the next 3 years. Very tight and specific interventions in terms of personnel to assist the municipality as far as water, wastewater, infrastructure operation and maintenance is concerned, but also water infrastructure operation and maintenance, which will escalate even beyond that after that as today's outcome. And therefore, the name of the game in summary is that we are intervening as far as water and sanitation is concerned, and that includes infrastructure, but it also includes intervening even on the management, like collecting, like billing. We're not doing so, but we are backing municipalities. We are advising municipalities. We are observing and assisting them how they can manage water better. We even have an instrument called MUSA that assesses their performance in different aspects of water and so on. But going forward, we're envisaging a situation where we're going to persuade the whole of government in South Africa, all the spheres, that we agree that we sort of do some fencing of for water and sanitation provision for reasons that this is life, this is the right, this is sensitive, this is emotional. And therefore, it doesn't need to be subjected to all kinds of climates and municipalities. Let's take the example of Tswane. Tswane has been failing perpetually from around 2011 to provide the section of Hammanskraal with water and sanitation due to reasons that were indicated here. We are due to meet them to say, because the part that is provided by Rand Water and the other part of Hammanskraal provided by Machales, they are getting clean water, no problem. But the part that is provided by Tswane is one that is in a mess and is painting us very badly, all of us, and we are due to engage them. It has been we have been unable, almost impossible to meet them, because every day they would have a new mayor or spells of periods, no mayor, and it has been very unstable and preventing the municipal manager to take appropriate decisions, some of which we have agreed on already with them, but are not implementable. So I'll pass that with that kind of explanation to the Honourable Memes, but appreciate your comments overall. Now let's go to Honourable Member Thandi Tobias. Completion of Gyan projects. I would say, from where I sit, DDG Mate did provide a detailed analysis and explanation of the Gyan. Maybe what we can do is to merely ask Mate to come in on time frames, which he did articulate very well, saying we've already covered and completed the flow of water via a pipeline, 45 and a half kilometers from Nandoni to Nzam. Water is now there, flowing into the canal, into Nzame Dam. So if you ask completion, that has been completed. It was completed before 12 o'clock on the 6th of April, which meant that we overshot the deadline of March, end of March, in that aspect or component by 5.5 days, if you like, to put it that way. Now, as far as we are concerned, given the weather, given other problems, we want time. That was after we had given a deadline of September, which led to a number of things. But there was a very valid reason, even that, because we had been stopped from working by local Amakhosi who were demanding water. And that they are closer to Nandoni, but they saw water passing, pipes passing to Gyan, and they stopped. And then we had to negotiate with them. It took a few weeks to do that. But we accept that as a package. So the time frame for that component has come and gone. Have we delivered? We've delivered. The second component, as Mate explained, is the refurbishment of the treatment plant. Is it our duty? No, it's not our duty. But is it not our duty? It is our duty. In terms of legislation, that plant belongs to Mopane. That is, they are their owner. They are its owner. They built it. And so on and so on. There was another plant they built to augment the other one, which functioned for 3 months only in 2014. And it died completely it had to be demolished because it was badly done and so on. So the alternative in terms of our advice was that refurbish this one so that when water arrives, the capacity of that plant is okay. And we assisted them in procuring and doing all sorts of things. Strictly speaking, we shouldn't be associated with any blame for whatever that relates to refurbishment. But we cared enough to say we can't restrict ourselves to providing bulk when water is not reaching the people of South Africa in this instance in Guyana. And therefore, we assumed responsibility outside our mandate, even a legal one, and said, we're supervising you as a municipality, we want you to deliver this. What is happening now, they are refurbishing, the contractor is on site. Now, we went further. When water has been cleaned, even at the current capacity of that plant, what happens? We then overlapped to reticulation, which is the duty of the municipality again, and we assisted them on how to procure legally and without any problems, because that municipality is suffering from undercapacity as far as the number of aspects are concerned, as I've indicated. What is happening now? 27 construction companies are on site. They are working on reticulation. Now, we explain this to the best of our ability, just to say we accept blame, even the fact that this project, if you look at it as a whole, was started in 9-10, because government is government, regardless of who is in office now and then. But at the same time, between us and the portfolio committee, we should understand that we were appointed in August 2021, but this is what we've been able to do. Are we boasting? We're not boasting. We are merely covering what should have been done long ago by government in terms of the undertaking, in ensuring that they deliver on the rights. But at that time, we found shoddy for one reason or the other. But ours was not to cry and do all sorts of things and complain. Was just to do the work that we're doing. Very soon, we're delivering in the villages around November, treated water, as Matthew was saying. So there are specific, that the completion as a whole of villages around Guyana would be done by April and all of that. I think completion should be separated from those who will by then enjoying water, treated water on their yards. There will be a substantial number of people in the 24 villages that will be getting water by April. That it won't have been completed or that the project as a whole won't have been completed. But substantially, it will be completed. We can put it that way. So let me then move on to PPP in reticulation. There was a question. Do you want to respond to that one? DG is disturbed by something, but DM Mashlobo did respond and said we are not privatizing water, but the inclusion of private business into the sector is a progressive one because it comes with the financial muscle, and that is inevitable. If you look at the fiscus and what it is able to do per year, if we go with that, we'll never do anything. And therefore, we've brought them in and we'll bring them in more. They are the citizens of the country, corporate citizens, and they have specific responsibilities in relation to developing the country and developing its people and building the economy, which can't exclude bettering the lives of people generally, even via, the economic aspect of life. And therefore, they're in, responsibly so, correctly so, and legally so. Are we envisaging a period when they, when we bring them in into reticulation? We want to answer that question specifically after the 25th of this month, because we have a symposium that is going to be looking at a specific proposal that seeks to get in into the space of fencing off water provision. And I want to repeat, water provision outside of municipalities as water service authorities. They will continue to play that role because it's constitutional. But water provision is something else. That is what we're exploring once we've passed that symposium on the 25th. We'll then, in the next available opportunity, come and explain ourselves. And we will, by then, have consulted with our counterparts in local government and other affected departments. But it is our intention to ensure greater reliability, greater security for water provision, but without taking that responsibility from municipality, but without taking it from ourselves either, but also increasing efficiencies in providing water to people in South Africa, far more than it is happening at the moment. That is how we put it for now in answer to that question by the Honorable Chandra Tobias. And then we go to brown water in the Western Cape. Zanel is here, who is head of water and sanitation in the Western Cape. Do you want to come in brown water in Wynberg? Speak. She's not speaking. I don't know what the problem is. She gave us the response saying that in Wynberg, it could be a problem with the pipe, which may be broken, or there may be something else, but she's going to send a team to go and check what the specific problem is there in Wynberg. She was also explaining something in the West Coast. Are you in now?
Yes, Minister. My West apologies. I was...
Yes, speak.
Okay. Yes, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson, and all protocol
observers.
Yes, Minister. Yes, Minister. With regards to the Wynberg town, which falls within the jurisdiction of the city of Cape Town, we have already sent the team to go and investigate what could be the issue. We have also checked on the IRIS system, and we will revert to you, Minister, to let you know what could be the problem. It could be various reasons that maybe there was a pipe burst, or they could be flushing the pipes. But as far as we recall, they haven't reported anything, but we are currently investigating the matter. And in terms of the Verwachter bulk water purification plant, that is the plant that is owned by the Saldanha Bay Municipality and as well as the Swartland Municipality. The water and sanitation, we do transfer the water through the full flow dam to the reservoir. And we are working together with the municipalities and the DWS Western Cape will definitely consider and support the municipality should they submit an application through the RBIC or WISIG fund. And upon that application, we are definitely going to consider it.
Okay. Manas come in on the sluice gates in Val recently, damaging homes and property, and how it was done. Manas?
Thank you, Minister. Just to come in to say that there are two separate structures in the valve system that was at play during the flood season. The one would be the valve dam itself that's operated by the department according to the operating rules. Of the 60 gates, we only opened 12 gates during this flood period, and we've done it exactly according to how the operating rules allow us to, and we've done it with a little bit more innovation that we even had some flood attenuation capacity in the dam itself, meaning that we flattened the peak a little bit in terms of the flood and the way it's been operated. However, during the weekend of the 17th and the 18th of February, there was a severe thunderstorm or rainfall activity downstream of the dam, and there's four tributaries that then flow into the valve system upstream of the valve barrage. And the valve barrage is a structure owned by Randwater and operated by Randwater. And it has been determined through a hydrological study that we've done that in the Sekebos Rand, as well as in the Klip River, there was significant runoff that came down those two streams that caused a backwater effect in the ridge plate itself as well. And this is being looked at to see at this point in time also so that we can learn from it. However, we can also state that the reason why we dispute this to be, as it's been alleged, that it's been a man-made flood at this point in time due to the operations of the department, was that we had a very uniform, smooth pattern of release. However, downstream, there has been reports, and also as we've been on site on the day with the minister, that there's been reports that there were 20 minutes to a half an hour peak floods that came through the system. And that means that was more a mimicking effect of the, or pattern rather, of the rain, the runoff that emanated from the rainfall events that has been referred to during the 17th. And then obviously also the last point we want to raise, Minister, is that all the damage that we have been in, that's been reported to us downstream in the valve system has been within the 100-year flood line at this point in time. And that is also that we need to keep in mind that we are, as a department, we really discourage the public to actually build any permanent infrastructure within the 100-year flood line anyway. So that would be my report. Thank you.
I can assure the honourable member that a delegation of ourselves in the ministry and department, we went there. There's no evidence of any error in operating the sluice gates, and it has been like that for quite a long time. And there are records there. The honourable members can go and demand those records. We met the head of the residential association there in the area, who had records of when the sluice gates were opened, what warning they got from at what time, and what happened, including information warning the residents of what was about to happen at any given time. One of the telling stories that he shared with us, which Manas is relating to, is that he said in the 4 years that he had been there, he had never seen the a flood like that. But upper the barrage, that is between the barrage and the dam, which means that there was a something that had never happened that happened that time in the last 4 years. That is the flooding of the rivers that get into the Val River system. They were so full that people did attest that it was happening for the first time. We even went there, and indeed we observed that there's a river there, Cliff Spread, which, or if it's Cliff Spread, whose bridge was damaged heavily, and residents were building, were trying to rebuild it in order to get across and so on. So certain things that were strange that had never happened in the last 40 years happened, but it is not because there were operational mistakes or errors. But the second aspect is the one that Manas is talking about. One of the homes we visited there, down the barrage, was somebody who built their home almost on water. And it is nice to do so, because every sunset you enjoy the coolness of your home surroundings and living in your home and so on. But look at what happened. He almost got the whole home, so a whole house washed down by the river. And all of those homes which are within the prohibited area, they were heavily affected. And then they say it is because of errors in the operation of the sluice gates, which was not factually backed and so on. So there's no error that was committed. However, we had to go there. We had to share and sympathize with the people for the damage that happened. We couldn't say, yeah, it's because of this and that. And we encouraged them to observe the zone or the area where they shouldn't really build their homes, and they should avoid that and so on. But human beings are human beings. You won't force them at the barrel of the gun to move and so on. Now, let me then go to the next one, which is Babawaska, the 33 million underspent. What criteria did we use to freeze certain posts or not to fill up certain posts, and the impact on delivery? Did you want to come in there?
Yes, thank you, Minister. It was more a matter of what criteria did we use to identify which key post to fill, because everything else we couldn't fill because we didn't have money. And the criteria were criteria such as things that are presidential priority. So probably the biggest prioritization that we did in terms of filling posts with a small amount of money that we have is to fill the 100 positions for the water use license applications processing in our regional offices, so that we can improve our turnaround times for water use licenses, which is a presidential priority. Then there's a couple of other priorities that we identified. I've indicated that it's a major priority for us to improve our infrastructure procurement to deal with under expenditure. So we've prioritized filling a couple of procurement specialist posts under the chief financial officer. And then we've also prioritized all the support to municipalities to improve their water service provision and supporting them to implement their RBEG and WSIC projects better. And for that, we needed to build some capacity in our water services branch. And we've prioritized filling a few chief engineer and senior project manager positions there. Beyond that, we don't have money to fill any other positions. So it was more a matter of identifying really key priorities with the very little money that we had, and everything else has to remain unfilled. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much. Let's leave that. Let's go to Kiane. When are we cutting the ribbon? It depends on what you want to do. We can go now and cut the ribbon for the main line, that is bulk line, but we would avoid that because water provision, whether it is through the bulk line or through reticulation, particularly clean water and so on, you've got to respect that right, that final access to people, to access of water to people. And maybe we need to hold on until people, the bulk of the people get water, clean water, cleaned and reticulated, and then we can celebrate. But we will inform the honorable members because much as the project has been full of errors and some of them embarrassing and so on, but finally, we're committed to complete this and ensure the people enjoy their rights and their dignity gets restored. And we even line up the contractors to ask them where they are from, the Balkofuma are from the area and all of that. And so that's when it will be fit for us all to go in the cut the ribbon and celebrate. Herman Skraal, I can in the same breath deal with Herman Skraal. It's another very bad example of a protracted problem. But we're anticipating that we're going to meet Mayor Brink very soon and his team and ask them to sign the draft agreement that is on the table of the MM in Tswane. That will be taken to court in order that the agreement between us and them becomes an order of the court and therefore bringing to an end a protracted tug of war between us and them started in 2011 on this matter. When we made an attempt to intervene and do it ourselves, Treasury told us they won't give us money because the city of Tswane has enough money, because the city of Tswane has capacity. It's not that they are refusing to do the job. And therefore, that's why we've been persuading them then for almost a whole year last year to sign the agreement. But they've been on and off, reckless, and to an extent irresponsible in the face of the grievances of the people and evidence of that grief, which you could see yourself when you go there, that people are not accessing clean water when they can and when they should. But we're hoping that we're going to get some end at some point. Then I see here the honourable member is also reminding us of the spillage around Caledon. I don't know whether we just maybe put it on record that we will go to fix back or we will check what's happening in that area so that we intervene if we need to as soon as possible. Now I would want to proceed and talk about the next question. The next question is the debt to the water boards. Did you want to deal with that, or any other person if they can better answer that question?
Yes, thank you, Minister. The current money owed to water boards as at February 2023 was 16.7 billion rand. Now, it's not only a matter of debts owed by municipalities to water boards, because sometimes the municipalities buy water directly from us as well. So there's two major problems in terms of financial sustainability. One is that 16.7 billion rand owed by municipalities to water boards, but then water boards can't pay us either, and we need the money from the water boards to do the maintenance and operation of the dams. The water boards and municipalities together, including those municipalities which buy water directly from us, owe us 17.4 billion. And the biggest problem, Minister, is that these numbers are escalating rapidly. Thank you.
You may as well proceed to Nelson Mandela Bay allocation.
Yes, thanks, Minister. We similarly to Tswane, we are not allowed to make an allocation to Nelson Mandela Bay. The financial system in the country has different grants. Our grants are the RBIG grant and the WSIG grants, which aren't allowed to be provided to metropolitan municipalities. There's another grant for metropolitan municipalities for water and sanitation called the Urban Settlements Development Grant. And the metros are supposed to use the Urban Settlements Development Grant for water and sanitation.
We have been encouraging Nelson Mandela Bay, and we've been assisting them with planning. The results of that planning indicate that they should fund using their USDG grant. A further phase of the Nooitgedacht water treatment works, which treats water that's brought all the way down from Gariep Dam, which will go a long way to helping Nelson Mandela Bay have more water. But unfortunately, the city has not yet made a decision to use its USDG grant to do the next phase of the Nooitgedacht work. Thanks.
Consultant costs, did you?
Thanks, Minister. I'll say a little bit and then ask Brunch to add. But as a technical department, and given the nature of the technical industries that we work in, and the fact that we often need very specialist expertise to look in a dedicated way at projects and plans for projects, it's not possible for us to have all the technical, engineering and scientific capacities that we require for all of our work on our staff. So some of the work that we need to do is done by consulting engineering firms, and some is done by other firms offering the services of scientists, and sometimes joint firms as well offering services in planning work such as feasibility studies. So that's the main area. Those are the main areas in which we hire consultants. Franz, would you like to mention a bit about how much we spend on that?
Yeah, thank you very much. The total allocation for consultants that we have in the 23-24 financial year for business and advisory services, we have an allocation of 162 million. And then for infrastructure and planning services, which is what DG also outlined as the resource that we bring in, is 232. So in total, we have budgeted 394 million for the whole country on this item.
Thanks, Minister.
On municipal capacity to do basic services, we have responded. Completion of Gyan responded. There's an issue of a plant in Tabanchu. I don't know who is Dr. Dilly here to respond. A treatment plant in Tabanchu and its derelict state.
Yes. Good morning, and the treatment in Tabanchu is falling under Mangaung Metro, in which we have assessed in terms of its functionality for about a month ago. We have found that it is not even also in a good position. Almost about 2 hours that were really funded by the human settlement through the USDG. The Mangaung has already provided a response to us by saying they will be able to put them again back to the refurbishment plan to improve them. We have already asked for the action plan. I don't know, Minister, can I also go for the feedback one? The feedback one is a wastewater project which is falling under the Sotho municipality, which was really established almost about 6 years ago. It is not well functioning currently. It's really giving us a little bit of an issue which we have already given to the municipality in terms of the directive, in terms of the operations and maintenance. It is a 12 megaliter in our today, in our treatment work, in which it's very heavy, a big issue around there is a big issue around the blockages and the vulnerabilities which are very close to the
That's a second.
Dr. Chili, just a second. You can hardly
Just I'm coming in, just hold, doctor. Honorable members, can I request that you mute our Darren, can you attend to the honorable member so that you can allow the doctor to make his presentation?
All right, Chair, I've muted. It's Mr. Sheikh Imam. I muted him.
That's fine. Okay. Please, sorry for that, Doc. Please continue.
Thank you very much. I was just mentioning that the 6 days week for the project is the 12 megaliter per day work, consisting of two activated large modules that is charged into Caledon River. The work to receive effluent from Fitzek and McMillan Township. The outfall sewer conveying sewage to the west are prone to blockade and vandalism because it's a long, even the kind of river.
Dr. Tilly, we're struggling to hear you. Can't you get closer to the mic or what we are really struggling? Try again.
Okay.
That's better.
I was mentioning, am I audible?
Yes, that's now, better. Keep it where you are now.
Yes. I was saying that feedback with treatment work is the 12 megaliter per day work consisting of two activated flood modules that discharge into Caledon River. The work to receive effluent from Fitzbeck and the McQueen Township. I think you have the conveyance to the west are prone to blockages and vandalism. The coastal storage not even also reaching some work. But now what we have already done, this particular treatment work was really refurbished within about 6 years ago. And we had to provide the municipality with some directives in terms of to protect and operate and maintain the plant. But now because of the completion and the implementation of the budget eradication, we have found that this particular plant might also be our weakest link in terms of making sure our budget eradication program is daily maintained. We have
Thank you. Well, it's fine. We have responded. The bottom line is that we will follow up on that observation. Thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. We're not aware, but we need to follow up and do what we have to do on the plant. Let's move on. And the sanitation pipe. Then there is Lesotho Water, who it benefits, who it doesn't benefit. That was a specific question that, and I think we will just make an attempt. I think it is incalculable, if I could put it that way, the benefit from Lesotho Water right down to Namibia and the communities lower down Orange River and Northern Cape and Eastern Cape in the form of North Gadap via Harit Dam. Remember, Harit Dam is the biggest dam in South Africa, and it's filled with water that is from Lesotho, and that includes Free State and the projects that are still going to be developed, pumping water from Harit to Mangaung, and also possibility of pumping water to Northern Cape, some parts of Northern Cape. The Lesotho people as well are benefiting quite a lot. You are aware of the current projects, Port Hardy, which will have a tunnel that will release water to the current dam and tunnel, the Gatsa Dam. But it comes with another development in a number of developments in the Lesotho site, there's a bridge which is hailed as one of the landmark bridges that are going to be developed. And I think they have started and they're somewhere towards completion in Lesotho itself. I may as well indicate that on the 23rd, President Ramaphosa has been invited by the Prime Minister and the King of Lesotho to go there to do inspection in loco on phase two projects that have started, which is the winding road to Bolihadi, and then the offices that have been built there, or infrastructure to house constructors, equipment and all of that, and the construction that has started on Bolihadi Dam itself and the tunnel. So, and then some people have been affected and are still going to be affected by water, rise of water in Bolihadi. And then they get to better settlements as the law requires. So a number of communities in Lesotho have benefited in terms of better human settlement and some in compensation for the construction of water to South Africa. And they themselves are benefiting from water and their agriculture, employment, and so on. So it's difficult to calculate the impact of water to Lesotho, either into the Eastern Cape or inclusive of to other provinces as well. That's how I would, in summary. But if Deputy Ministers want to add, Deputy Minister Shabalala, Deputy Minister Mashobo, if you want to add on the benefit, you can. Okay. DG, in 1 minute, what does the department do? I think I've explained that. What do boards do? You can take on that one in relation to municipalities.
Thanks, Minister. Well, the starting point is the Constitution. The Constitution divides between national and local government responsibilities with regard to water, and it says that municipalities are responsible for their distribution of water, in other words, to provide water services. The national government, through DWS, is responsible for bulk water, which basically means raw or untreated water. So we develop dams and associated infrastructure, but we're also responsible for water resource management, for managing the catchments to make sure that the whole system of river catchments and rivers continues to function as it's naturally supposed to do. Because if it doesn't continue to function in that way, then we won't have sufficient water to store in the dams that we're building. In terms of the Water Services Act, We can create water boards to provide a support function to municipalities. So it is a function as it's naturally supposed to do, because if it continues to function in that way, I'll create water boards to provide municipal water services. So what economic, for example, RAD Water buys water from us, from our dams, and it treats it in large water treatment works and stores some of it, and distributes it through large distribution lines to the big metros in Gauteng. So it's providing a service to municipalities. It's part of the municipal distribution function, but it's a service to municipalities, and they have to enter into agreements with municipalities to provide those services to the municipalities. We also have a role in terms of both the National Water Act and Water Services Act to regulate the whole sector. So we have a right in terms of the Water Services Act to issue norms and standards which municipalities are supposed to adhere to for the services which they provide. Thank you, Minister.
I think we need to proceed and then get to low-hanging fruits. We rather can provide the information to the Honourable Member, Bamlenzan, on what it refers to as hanging fruits. It's simply because it's all over in all provinces, and we can see and we are accelerating movement towards reaping those fruits because indeed there are many of them that are low-hanging everywhere where we're intervening and so on. And others, even big ones like LOSCOP, we really are very close to people can see, they can visibly see, because in that project alone, pipes are being laid between LOSCOP and East Mutse. And in East Mutse itself, they have started a small treatment plant. I think it's a 6 megaliter treatment plant. And they can see the line moving from that side. That is Limpopo. Limpopo site into Mpumalanga site, that is the Tebisilani municipality, where a reservoir is being built and a treatment plant is being built. So there's a whole line of infrastructure that is being lined up. All of those are already fruits in front of the people. And they are all over. It's just like 3 weeks ago in Khamakhara, commissioning a pump station that's going to pump water throughout Khamakhara, and then they put in another request for extending a pipe more than 200 kilometers, because I'm in Tutiom alone, because those are seeing these other ones in Khamakhara benefiting already. So it's all over. We can provide. So I would ask that maybe RCMAT, DG Water and Sanitation provide that in writing to Honorable Lenzan. In legal terms, we'll do the same. To say these are the illegal terms that we have identified. Illegal as they are is criminal. Some of the illegal terms have been destroyed. But Zwane is here. Do you want to talk, Zwane, a few minutes?
Just while Kulani comes in, Minister, the problem with illegal dams is that those that we are aware of, we act upon, and we require them to either be legalized or destroyed. But there may be some out there that we don't know about by their illegality. And in that regard, we're engaged in a number of initiatives to identify them and deal with them. Polani, want to add?
Thank you, DG. All protocol observed, Minister. In terms of those dams with the safety risk, meaning those dams with a volume of 50,000 cubic meters and the height of about 5 meters. We are currently aware of about 28 dams, and 17 of those have no authorization at all, and 11 have got one or more authorization, but still don't have authorization for dams with the safety risk. So we, as DG has indicated, we are working on the issues of compliance through administrative and enforcement. Thank you, Minister.
Go on, Golani, on pollution or effluent release, which is not treated at the standard. Do we punish people? What do we do? What's the state of affairs?
Yes, Minister, I'll come in on that one. We do take actions. We're empowered under the National Water Act to take actions. Over the last year, from April 2022 to the end of the financial year, we issued 280 notices and directives under sections 19, 20, 53 and 118 of the National Water Act. And those compel polluters to take remedial action and curb the pollution of water uses. We've also pursued criminal action against polluters by instituting charges against 12 water users found to have caused pollution of water resources. And we finalized and handed over 6 case dockets to the National Prosecuting Authority to take a decision to prosecute. 4 plea sentencing agreements were reached during that period, in terms of which 2 municipalities pleaded guilty on all charges, and the court imposed fines for causing pollution of water resources. We also initiated 2 court interdict applications against water users found to have caused pollution of water resources, and 1 court order was granted against the municipality for causing pollution during the same period. Thanks, Minister.
The last three questions. One is conditional failure failure to spend conditional grants. I would want to take that on, DG, by municipalities. What action? Make sense?
Yes, thanks, Minister. I think the question related to what are the causes of it. And the causes of it are basically slow planning and procurement processes in municipalities and weaknesses in project management in municipalities. As honourable members will know, this is a problem across government, particularly the procurement challenges and the procurement processes being so slow. But it's not something that has to result in us underspending, because as I indicated, what we're going to do is to move money during the course of the year from those municipalities which are underspending and add to projects where the municipalities are doing well and spending well, and then we'll put the money back to the slow ones later. And in that way, we'll make sure that we fully spend our allocations, and those municipalities who are able to deliver quicker are given the necessary resources to do so. Thanks, Minister.
And I want to add the Deputy Ministers on failure to, on reasons for underspending. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
One of the issues around under expenditure that we've done an assessment, like DG has said, is with respect to issues of capacity. And that's why the decision to support municipalities through availing our water boards closer to them is to deal with the capacity constraints. Because a number of these municipalities, firstly, they are struggling to plan, and including the issues of supporting them with all the technical reports and in dealing with those issues. But also the DG, also looking at the capacity of our construction unit so that we can be able to support them. Therefore, when it comes to support, they can't be in a position to complain that the ministry is not supporting and we're closer to municipalities, either using DPM or the implementation capacity that is there, including working with the partnership office that the DG has established under the guidance of the ministry to do that part. Then the second component is the issues of procurement, which are the biggest challenges that are there. Even when people, they know that money has been appropriated, they don't start procurement on time. These issues of the availability of designs and so forth. And those are the issues that in terms of the framework agreement, because also we had our own challenges of procurement and this year to re-engineer ours, we should be able to assist these municipalities going forward. The last point on procurement, Sheng, is the issues of conflict of interest. Sometimes they don't spend because when it comes to procurement, there are too many people who are interfering with procurement to them. They don't agree who must be appointed. And these are some of the issues that when the minister engages with municipalities and the premiers in provinces, we thought those two areas of concern as high risk areas, we should be able to address them, because it's not our intention that a municipality doesn't perform, ultimately we must take the money away and give it to someone else, and those communities must suffer. But in the meantime, as a short term, we do take the money away, but when we've sorted out issues of capacity and so forth, the department has always been supportive that we do restore that financial commitment so that ultimately, communities don't suffer a double jobber. Thanks, Matuna.
Thank you very much, Chair Mashogo. Chair Chabalala, do you want to add any matter here? Okay. Health of water infrastructure in the country. I'm not sure whether Tucci, as we've gathered this in in quantifying it in rand and cents beyond municipalities. All municipalities have this, these in rand and cents. We have them in water boards, but maybe infrastructure DG or Leonardo may quantify this, but it's billions and billions of rands. Each time we go to a municipality or a water board, would be there would be indication that the infrastructure needs to be revamped or renewed or replaced or refurbished. And these and we're always given quantities, financial quantities on this matter. But DG, you may want to make a short overall assessment on this.
Thank you, Minister. We do have a good idea of the condition of the infrastructure which is owned by DWS, and we keep information on that in our asset register. Overall, the condition owned by DWS is fair, and overall, the condition of most of the water board's infrastructure is also fair. But our real worry is the condition of municipal water and sanitation infrastructure. And we don't have ourselves comprehensive information on all its condition, but we do know what are the consequences of the condition of that municipal infrastructure through the blue and green and NODOT reports and assessments that we do. And we'll be issuing in this month the watch reports for those three reports, which indicate that municipal water and sanitation services continue to deteriorate, partly due to the condition of its infrastructure, and that the leaks are also increasing. The South African Institute of Civil Engineers regularly does an assessment of the condition of all the infrastructure in the country, and we're going to be collaborating with them as they do the assessment of all the water and sanitation infrastructure in the coming months. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much. We can leave it at that, Shenge, and merely say that this is a worrying factor. In Gauteng alone, we have had the opportunity to meet all municipalities, including the metros in Gauteng. Each one of them committed several millions to upgrade infrastructure, either via new projects or refurbishing the ones that exist, or in some cases replacing them. Each municipality for the next 2 years, we know exactly what they gave us, all of them committing to rebuilding infrastructure. In other words, there's something that we're doing about infrastructure. As I say, in Machabeng, for instance, we ourselves have committed to replacing 1,500 kilometers of infrastructure, 52 pump stations of sewer, and 11 for upgrades for water treatment plants. And there's a huge intervention in the valve by DWS, and we're making progress on that. Rand Water itself and other water boards, they are building new projects on infrastructure. So it's not often correct to explain the situation of water and sanitation infrastructure as only worrying, and not to add that something is being done, money is being pumped in, or even partnering. For instance, in Mokopane, we're partnering with Ivan Platz to build a wastewater treatment plant between Ivan Platz and the Mkhalagwena municipality. So there's quite a lot that is being done to bring up new projects on infrastructure, but in some cases, to a large extent, replacing and refurbishing. The last question was on localization by Shenge, including on manufacturing. I don't know who will answer that one. DG, you may want to take that one. I'll take Woodstock together with Risimati because it's a matter he's dealing with. DG, you want to take manufacturing or any one of us here or Leonardo?
As far as the manufacturing of pipes are concerned, we are quite blessed as far as South Africa is concerned with quite a large manufacturing capability of pipes. Even the department, we manufacture our own special steel pipes. So for the Glen William project, we are at this point in time quite far advanced, 60% advanced with the manufacturing of all the special pipe work required for the Glen William pipeline at our own manufacturing facility in Jankiemdorp. So that is to a large extent in South Africa is localized. However, the component of the business that is quite not as much would be the large pump station and the mechanical and electrical component that we still have a dependency on imports. But there are components of the pipes that sometimes have to be imported in terms of size and special types. But in South Africa, we have localized capacity at this point in time. Thanks a lot, Minister.
Last question is Woodstock. I would say, Shane, it's a fair question and one that we accept wholeheartedly to answer. Historically, there are many rivers that lead to Gauteng via abstracting water to that particular province from the rest of South Africa. In some cases, making it look like nobody else is important except Gauteng and so on. But as far as Woodstock is concerned, we have had two engagements with together a district municipality and among others we've discussed Woodstock and its contribution or potential contribution not only to local people because the primary concern is what services the dam giving to local people, just like we're asking the same question in relation to other dams, Josini, and other dams, including the Warp and so on, which historically are dams that were built with other people in mind other than those who are local, and of course including other people as you go further. Now, the impact, possible impact on water provision, impact of Woodstock, and satisfying the need of local people, including downstream to Ladysmith itself, is huge. And there are several proposals that came up in the discussions when we engaged the district. We are angling towards the last engagement with them, but in the main, we will be indicating what projects we are taking up to try and answer the and to address the grievance of the people of that district, which may include the abstracting water from Woodstock, Spear and Corp, and all those areas. But DG Mate may want to make a statement or two, if you are in a position to.
Thanks, Minister. I think you have summed it up because when we engaged together through your intervention, the whole allocation specifically for Woodstock is one of the areas which you gave us a task to look at, specifically on the allocation strategy. Over and above that, it's on the water services. We had actually picked up Chair, through the minister, that when we engaged the municipality, they had not yet comprehensively planned for water services in most of the areas there through to get funding from us. And this intervention by the minister is seeks to also unlock that component, which will therefore give a much more comprehensive response to how are the water apportioning and appropriation specifically for Woodstock. So the minister is quite right in his response. I thought that those are the few issues I can add into it. But the whole implementation plan will come out once we have finalized the minister's intervention for the area. Thank you.
Shanda, I think that we have responded to your questions. But dear Mashobo, who was leading the opening input, may have the last bite, and then we'll, on our side, we'll propose to stop here. Thank you. Mashobo? Okay.
My apologies.
Yes, so we wanted you to do the last fight. You did the first fight, and otherwise we would finalize the question.
No, on my side, Matungane and Honorable Chairperson Cheng and the other members, the last issue that Matungane was trying to respond. The historical issues of bringing water to certain people that government at the time had in mind is not an accident of history. Remember, saying they needed water for economic purposes in Gauteng. They had to take water from Mpumalanga. They had to take water from KwaZulu-Natal. We even had to take water from the suit. And in terms of the guidance by President and Minister now, all that infrastructure will be available to all communities. And as you could hear, the issue around Woodstock, remember there was a problem of water not being available. After Woodstock, there's a Stadfontein. Remember Stadfontein just sitting somewhere. Around Harrismith, those particular issues that are being dealt with. We should be in a position that now these dams remain multi-purpose dams in terms of dealing with these issues. But once again, we will always respect the support you give us. These issues of infrastructure for water, they are very closer to the issues of infrastructure like electricity. And we need to be able to handle them well with your support, Chairperson, because we are going through those difficult times so that the mandate of people to have access to water by communities. When we move, like the direction that we are moving in terms of that private sector, they too have an important role to play. That initiative must always be supported because we do take into account that whatever we do, the burden must never be borne in terms of issues of pricing of water by the end user, that it becomes unaffordable. It's going to be an important thing because later on, some people will be saying that, but we can't guarantee the availability of water beyond 2028 when we know that the fiscus has no capacity to be able to respond to these particular issues. Then the other issues that we'll have to look at is that the issues of interventions. You could see, Sheng, that the attitude of the ministry to directly even help municipalities where they are failing to perform their constitutional duties. Interventions are going to come at a cost, Sheng. And we need to start to say, if we are going to be looking at interventions and support, why should be the model so that we don't get to be accused at a particular point that when it comes to financial management and in terms of prudence, we don't do the right things. But our attitude remains. No South Africans will remain without a drop of water and will fold our arms and say it's a responsibility of X or Y. We'll come in and support those municipalities. Those are some of my concluding remarks, Matungwane, and I appreciate that we will give the committee led by Sheng all the other necessary information of all our projects, where they are located. So this support around these appropriations, we know. You know which communities, what is the impact that is being made, because there's a very, very long list of the hard work that is being done on the ground. Sibongeka kakhulu leadership.
Thank you. Matungane, can I come in now? Yes. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make a disclaimer that
I didn't consult with Macingwane as to the uniform of the day, the gray and blue that we are wearing today. But on a serious note, the oral members have said a mouthful in appreciating what Honorable Minister Mthunu and his deputies, Honorable David Mashobe and Judith Tshabalala, are doing. All I can say is to agree with them. Also appreciate the presentation by the DG, Mr. Phillips, and the management, and you are responding to the questions that have been raised by the honorable members. Then, honorable minister, what is good from our side when we interact with you and the department is that it becomes clear you understand what are the problems. But even more important is that you have cogent plans as to how to deal with them. Add to that that you are showing results of your intervention. Yan is a case in point. I think we need to underline and stress that this one, that it is very critical to intervene throughout the value chain up to the municipality level, as you have just said, Honorable Deputy Minister. Always say this, our people are expecting water from government. They don't have the luxury of differentiating between the national government, provincial government, local municipality, or the water board. So I think it's a very critical intervention that at the end of the day, our success as government in delivering on this very important constitutional mandate will be measured as to how many people have water at the end of the day. We therefore encourage and support this initiative and intervention. With those few words, we thank you, Minister and the department. We can then allow you to leave the meeting. But again, if you want to stay with us, we are a transparent committee. You may stay. And then thank you the oral members for engaging the department. Can we go to
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And all of the best with the work that you are doing. Darren, let's go to the next agenda item. Do you have any announcements?
Chair, nothing from me. Just a reminder that our next meeting is next week, Tuesday, with the Department of Health, where they will be briefing the committee on the 2023 appropriation bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honourable members, let me again take this opportunity to thank you for very, very important engagement that you have had with the Department of Water and Sanitation. We really appreciate that. We only hope that it can improve our delivery of water, a very important public good to our people. Thank you very much. This brings us to the end of this meeting, and see you in the next meeting. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.